Well, God bless. Definitely am thankful for Nick allowing me to share God's word this morning. It's always definitely a privilege to speak God's word, whether you're in front of people, you know, a group of people, or in front of one person. What I wanted to share this morning is something that a snag that a lot of us fall into because we're human. And that is, you know, sometimes you have to take, like Chuck said, one bite at a time or one day at a time. And too many times we look forward to and get anxious about things that are going to be the next day or the day after or next week or next month. But who likes baseball? You like baseball? We're heavily into the baseball season right now. Did we get to the All-Star break? I don't know.
Yes.
We did? Okay. Because I haven't been following it, but I know that, you know, we definitely into baseball season. And it's supposed to be America's sport, right? That, hot dogs and apple pie, they go together or something. But this is going to be one pitch at a time. Now, you don't have to know anything about baseball to know that there is somebody who throws the ball, and they're called a pitcher, right? They stand up there, and I actually had a baseball this morning, but I forgot it just to, you know, show you. But they have a baseball in there, and it's called, it's not the thrower. They don't call him the thrower. They call him the pitcher. You know, he pitches the ball to the batter. So batter up, and the man who stands on the pitcher's mound is called the pitcher. And, you know, a lot of times the batter will stand up there and look at the pitcher and watch how he's going to throw it. There are certain keys, certain things that he looks for, right? Not only does he have to be a good swinger and a good, you know, a good batter and a good hitter, but he also has to be perceptive of how that ball is thrown. And sometimes you can tell by the hand, you know, because there's a fastball, there's a sinker, there's a slider, there's a curveball, there's a changeup, screwball, knuckleball. Don't ask me how, you know, all these are thrown or what they do, but, you know, yeah. But they're all different kinds of pitches. And so the batter really has to be concerned with the pitch that's coming. You know, he's not going to stand up there and think about the next pitch after that or the next two pitches because he's going to strike out because his mind is not focused on the pitch that's coming, the present pitch, okay? So it's one pitch at a time. He doesn't want to strike out. He wants to knock the ball out of the park, right? Sometimes they have specific hits that, you know, they just want to get somebody home. But anyway, they want to hit the ball. So I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to look at this record here about being anxious about your life in a little bit different perspective. Matthew 6, verse 25. And if it's one pitch at a time, then you've got to make sure that your mind is focused. If you're taking one day at a time, your mind must be focused on that day. Okay? Don't jump ahead and worry about the future. Don't worry about the day following. In 6:25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment, more than raiment? Raiment's clothing. The word thought, not going to throw a lot of words out to you today with Greek, but this one particularly. The word thought, merimneo, and it means anxious or anxiety. That's what it means. Have no anxiety. That's the proper translation. Have no anxiety, okay, for your life. You know, what you're going to eat or drink or put on. The care and anxiety distracts and divides. Did you know that? When you have care and anxiety, not good care I'm talking about, but the anxious care, the anxiety, it divides you because you can't be thinking about one thing. You're thinking about a lot of different things. You don't have to turn to Luke, but in Luke chapter 40, where Jesus spoke with Martha, Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? What's the matter with you? I'm here working all by myself, you know, laboring for the Lord, you know. And, oh, bid her therefore that she help me so she can labor for the Lord too. You know? Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, thou art anxious. You are anxious and troubled about many things. The anxiety brings trouble. Okay? Anxiety brings that trouble. And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25, that there should be no schism. You know what schism means? It's a division. It's dividing. There should be no schism in the body, body of Christ. But that the members, the body of Christ, should have the same care one for another. Care is that word. Okay? Okay. If you're going to be anxious about anything, be anxious about helping your brother or your sister in Christ. You know, just don't be anxious, but have that careful thought for each other. Really, the lesson in that verse is we should be caring for one another as the body of Christ, one for another in this body, okay? To care and to provide for one another. That's what that verse is talking about, having thought for one another. That's a beautiful thing to think about, okay? Because we have a body of Christ here. We have believers. We have brothers and sisters in Christ that we can spend our time thinking about and caring about rather than the next pitch after the, you know, the present one. Because then you're going to be divided. You're going to be thinking about a lot of different things, okay? It's schism. It's division. Philippians chapter 2, verse 20 says, "For I have no man," Paul speaking about Timothy, "I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." The word care is that word menemneo, which is the same word as thought or anxiety. Timothy had that anxious care, that, you know, how can I help? How can I get in there and bless these people? What do they need? You know, God, show me what this person needs and how I can help them. And it's interesting because you see the word naturally, you may not be there, but it's the word naturally care for your state. Naturally means genuinely or sincerely, faithfully. And that's the way Timothy was. He was genuinely and sincerely and faithfully carrying out the ministry of caring for the body of Christ, caring for the believers. Okay. You know, I was so blessed last night. Becky came, the new bride's here, did you know? Okay, Rich and Becky, new bride and groom. Okay, I guess you're not bride and groom now, but I don't know if you knew that, but freshly married. Okay, Rich and Becky came out to where Wildflower, we were playing last night, and to me that was like care, you know. Like, they came to help and support, not help, but you didn't get up on stage and sing or anything, but, you know, they were danced a little bit, and they just had a wonderful time. He even recognized some people there. But I want to thank you for that. It was great to see you. But that's it's just kind of scratching the surface of care. But they're believers. You know, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. It was beautiful. So, therefore, having thought for one another is seeking the things which are... Let's read that verse again. It says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." The second part of that, verse 21 in Philippians 20, or 2. "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." When you're seeking your own, you're not after the things of Jesus Christ, because you're all involved in, what do I need? What do I need to do? This, that. How about the next day? What about next week? You know, and you're getting all divided, you know. But it says, those who are seeking their own, they're not seeking the things of Jesus Christ. Therefore, having thought for one another, by sheer logic, is seeking the things which are Jesus Christ's, the things that pertain to Jesus Christ. Now, wouldn't you want to be in a state of mind where you're always seeking the things that pertain to the Lord Jesus Christ? I would be. You know, it's a thing we should seek after each day, the things that pertain to Him. All right, look, there's many temptations in life. I mean, every time you wake up, you got temptations. You know, we're human, we're people that God has made with Holy Spirit, but we have temptations that we have to deal with. They cause anxiety, don't don't they? These temptations sometimes, if you let them, they'll cause anxiety. They'll cause extra thought and extra care that really don't need to be there, all right? Like your food, your clothing, your car payment, your house payment, your credit card payment, you know, your bills, your state of life, you know, where you are in life, your job, travel, the weather. I got a guy in the band, he's like Wally Canan, the weatherman, you know. he's always telling me what the weather's going to be like. And we're playing inside, but he says, oh, the weather's going to be, oh, it's terrible. I told everybody last night while we were packing up, don't let him speak with me because he's always speaking negatives. Don't let him talk to me. He looked at me, you know. But you got to deal with him, you know. He's a nice guy, but he's just, you know, he's always coming out with these statements. So that's why I said the weather. He's always talking about the weather. I call him Wally Canan, the weatherman. Remember Wally Canan, the weatherman? You remember him?
Yes.
Channel 6. And I bet you don't remember who the anchorman was. Gunner Back. Remember Gunner Back? Anybody remember Gunner Back? You don't remember that.
That's
you
going do. Back, brother.
It is. We're old.
Who was that? Jim O'Brien.
Jim O'Brien, yeah. Yeah, he was... He wasn't an anchorman.
No, he was the weatherman.
He was the weatherman, Wally Canan. Wally Canan, the weatherman. Right. So I thought that was such a neat name, Gunner Back. You know, Gunner Back. Who names their kid Gunner?
I have a customer.
Huh?
I have a customer.
Do you? Gunner. Gunner Back. Easy name to remember. Okay. So don't worry about the next pitch, okay? Just don't worry about the next pitch. Think about the present pitch, the one that's coming. All right? Because when you start thinking too much, you get in trouble. Matthew 26. Continue in Matthew 6. Matthew 6. We're going to read the same record here. And Jesus is giving this record here. It says, behold, the fowls of the air. Behold means, look. It's supposed to capture your attention. That's the word behold. Okay? Behold, the fowls of the air. For they sow not. They don't believe before the Lord, you know. Neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them, right? He takes care of them. Are ye not much better than they? Let's face it. Are we not much better than the fowl of the air, the birds? Hey, fowl, I just thought of that. If you hit a foul ball, you know, baseball. Different kind of fowl. But the birds of the air, you know, it's God takes care of them. We're much better than they. Sometimes, and, you know, I want to urge you right now that when you're outside sometimes, just gaze at the birds. Mm-hmm. Just take the time, take a minute to look at the birds and consider this record that God said that we are so much better, so much better. He didn't use just the word better. He said much better than the birds of the air. Will he not take care of us too? So take some time, take a minute to look at the birds and to watch them and to think about what Jesus spoke here. God has no problem taking care of the birds of the air. And yet the word says that we are much better than them. Much better means more value. If you ever think about it that way, we have more value than the birds of the air. You know what value is? Chuck, you were just talking this morning about great values at this Kohl's thing. You know, it's a good value. You know, you can get a lot for your money. And our value to God never changes. See? Much better means more value. We never lose our value in God's sight and in God's eyes. Did you know that? No matter how much we sin, no matter how much we do wrong, no matter what we eat or don't eat, no matter how much we... even if you take this seriously, even no matter how much you do not take care of or take care of each other, you never, ever lose your value. You see? Never. We never depreciate. You know what depreciate is? You buy a car, you know, the next day it depreciates. So you lost $1,000 already just like that, you know?
Ten.
Yeah. But what, you have a Jaguar or something?
It's, no. Well, I saw your car, I figured.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah.
We never depreciate, no matter what. See? Even in sickness, even in death. And did you know that in death, we still don't depreciate? In fact, I think we've gained some things, you know? Because we got something greater that's coming. We're just waiting for it in sleep, you know? In a dormant state of non-life, I guess you call it. But we never depreciate, see? In Ephesians chapter 1, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to come back to Matthew, but Ephesians 1, and in verse 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with how many spiritual blessings?
All
spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. And verse 4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him. God chose us in him. And when he chose us, he placed that value on us that never changes. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We are without blame. We're without fault. We're faultless. We're without blemish. See, that just goes to show you there's no depreciation in your life. None whatsoever. Okay? And if you know, if you've had anything of value that depreciates, you know that it's a bummer. You know, like that $10,000 as soon as you drive off the lot, you lose it, you know. And but if you think about how God has made us and given us value, no matter what we do in life, no matter what we do, it's because of the Holy Spirit he gave us. No matter what we do, there's no loss of value. See? It's a good thing to know. Yeah. Okay, in Matthew chapter 6 again, we're going to continue in the next verse, verse 27. And this is a question that Jesus asks. Which of you, in verse 27, which of you, by taking anxiety or thought, okay, can add one cubit unto his stature? If you really think about it, okay, can you, if you really think hard, you're like, you're sweating, thinking so much, and you're perspiring, you know, can you grow 1 inch? Or even a half inch, or even a millimeter of an inch, just by thinking about it. Can you change your age? Get younger, or all, I wish we could get younger, but can you change your age just by thinking about it? No. You know, no matter how much you believe, that's not going to happen. See? You can't change your stature. Trust and be confident in God's ability to help you not knock that pitch out of the park. Not by your ability, okay? By God's ability in helping you knock the ball out of the park, that one pitch. Because if you're thinking about the following pitch after that, you're going to miss the ball completely. You're not concentrating and caring about what's coming right now, okay? Being thoughtful or worrying or having anxiety about the following pitch after the one that's coming, it won't help you one bit. It'll just get you in trouble. You'll strike out. Pretty soon you won't be with the team anymore because you're always striking out. You know, isn't it a good thing that we're always on God's team?
Mm-hmm.
Always on God's team. And in verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Why are you anxious for what you're going to wear? See? Chuck, where are the jeans? I don't see the jeans. Yeah, I know you weren't like that, right?
No, I wasn't. Right. What the heck happened to them all?
Yeah. Jeez. I can guarantee you, Chuck was not anxious about the jeans, if you know Chuck. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, And this is not just lilies. These are all the flowers. Okay, all the even the wildflowers. I got to get the plug in there somewhere. All of them. Consider them, how they grow. You know, gaze upon the flowers. Just how they grow. You know, they toil not. They don't labor either. They don't spin. Some of you, some of us, I'll put myself in that category. Some of you, I have you printed here, but all of us worry to the point of exhaustion sometimes, don't we? I mean, we do. We fall into that rut. We're worrying. We're having anxiety to the point of exhaustion. You know, it becomes weary to think about the next pitch after the one that's coming. Concentrate on the one that's coming. You know, batter up. It's the pitch that's coming, not the next two pitches. I know you get a chance at three, but just think of one at a time, right? It becomes weary. And then we wonder why we have no energy, right? Because you have anxiety about the wrong things, the following day, the following week or month. We wonder why we have no energy or our body aches. This is real. This is real because it all starts up here. For those of you on the CD, and Lynn, up here, meaning I'm pointing to my head, my mind. They can't see. This is not videoed, is it? Okay, we have no energy. Our body aches, okay? Sometimes we get colds often. Many people get colds often. This is all, it comes from your mind, okay? Why you can't sleep, you wonder why you can't sleep. You wonder why your ass is, your butt is dragging. And you haven't even done anything, and you're dragging, right? Well, if you haven't worried about something that day, you say, I haven't worried about anything today. Don't worry, it's going to catch up to you. Going to catch up. I have no anxiety today, and yet you're still dragging. You're still, you know, you're not getting out of it that easy. It does catch up to you. Okay, it's all the other worrying you've done before that catches up to you. See, you know, I don't want to hear age as an excuse either. My mom worked till she was 78 years old full time, and she didn't have to stop. She wished she could have kept going, and she could have if you knew my mom. She lived to be over 100, but age didn't stop her. She didn't walk. She ran. She ran until she couldn't run anymore. Yeah. And she trusted God. She believed God. She had confidence in God. That's the type of woman that she was. And that's the type of people we should be, you know, that we have trust and confidence in God. You remember her big old, you know, those the stirrers, the sauce, the wooden spoons? Sometimes we get them on our little tushies, you know, but when we were little. But the wooden spoons, well, we had made this giant wooden spoon because it was a big giant pot full of tomatoes, you know, that you had to stir. And she's up there on a stool, you know, stirring.
She's smaller than you.
She's smaller than me. And this was after 78 years old. You know, she was in her 80s, I think. Yeah, late 80s. Darn it. Man, you see the muscles on her arms, you know. I'm serious. How did I get to that? Oh, yeah, I didn't want to hear age as an excuse. We know better. Okay. After observing her for all that time, yep. I wish I could be like her, really. What a great example. The bottom line is trusting God. That's the bottom line. In verse 6:29. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Arrayed means to be clothed with. You know, we're arrayed with Holy Spirit. We're arrayed with the armor of light. Okay, the spiritual armor that's arrayed to be clothed with. Verse 30. Wherefore if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? That should hit us sometimes right in the heart. O ye of little faith. Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, take no anxiety, have no anxiety, saying, oh, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now, I know, you know, we don't walk around the house every day saying these things. But there, it's the little subtle things. Okay, I have an example of, and I thank you, this is leading up to it, but I thank you all for prayers for my daughter and son-in-law David, my daughter Victoria, and three little ones. David's job came through. I mean, he qualified. He's heating and air conditioning, so they're moving here. The first 3 days of, they'll be here August 3rd, but he starts August 6th, and they also got a house. And yep, the house actually is 10 minutes away from here. This is Lower Providence, right? Yep. We're in Lower Providence. I'm living with them. I'm going to live with them.
Wow.
I didn't leave my place yet. But I won't move till September. But anyway, the house is about 10 minutes away, 5 minutes, depending on how you drive. Okay. But I'm so blessed to be not only that close, but to be close with my grandkids, with David, my son-in-law, and Victoria, my daughter. They're very excited to be here. So thank you for your prayers. See, and we could have had anxiety over that. We kept talking over the phone and texting and talking. And, you know, look, God's going to work things out. You know, it's going to be the right time, the right house. And this, believe me, is the right house. We looked at all the other ones, the ones that I looked at for them. And I'm walking through, you know, FaceTime as I'm walking through the house, showing her FaceTime. Oh, yeah, yeah. And we saw a lot of really nice houses. Some of them were far away. Some of them were, you know, kind of close. But they either would not get back with us, or they had another application they accepted just before ours, or. It was too much, too little, whatever. So God came through at the right time with the right place in the right location for the right people. So I was very blessed. You're going to love them. They're great. Anyway, you know, so if he does that for us, if he does that for the grass and the birds and the flowers, why wouldn't he do that for us? Okay. Take no thought saying, what are we going to eat or drink, or where are we going to live, or what's the job going to be, you know? Saying is a key word here in this verse. Saying is the key word. And you know what? If you may have thoughts, and it's okay to have thoughts. Everybody has thoughts. But if you have thoughts, make sure you don't manifest them into words. You understand? You can manifest the wrong thoughts into words. And your words have power. All right? Your words definitely have power. They carry weight. So watch what you say. Watch what you speak. When you say it, what you're actually doing is you're affirming your distrust in God. That's your affirmation, that you're not trusting God, because you're affirming those anxious and anxiety thoughts, those thoughts that are not, that should not be there. The second pitch, the third pitch, okay? Oh, ye of little faith, see? God deserves better than that, okay? So you know what? You know that song, Shut Up and Dance? Well, shut up and swing, okay? Wait for that pitch to come, shut up and swing, and hit it out of the park. Okay, you know, now, how many of you like baseball? All right, I got a little story for you. There's these two guys that they're very, very old guys. They were really up in age, and they used to meet at the park every day. Not the baseball park, just sitting on the bench at the park. And they would talk, and they loved baseball so much that that's all they talked about. All they talked about was baseball. Baseball this, baseball that. You know, the averages and who's playing today. And so they were thinking, you know, one guy's name is Jack, the other guy's Bill. Jack says to Bill, hey, Bill, I wonder if there's baseball in heaven. You know. And Bill says, well, I don't know. It'd be really nice if they had baseball in heaven. I love baseball. And Jack says, I tell you, Bill, you know, we're getting really old, and we're not going to be here forever. So whoever goes first, okay, we'll let each other know if there's baseball up here, and we just keep going and be happy about that. And so Jack dies. Poor guy, he got old, and he passed away. And a little bit later, after he passed, about a week later, Bill hears from Jack. He says, "Bill, Jack, is that you?" "Yeah, Bill, it's me." "Hey, Bill, I got some good news for you." "What's that, Jack?" He says, "Bill, I got two things to tell you, Bill. We do have baseball up here in heaven. That's the good news." Bill's just so excited. "Wow, that's great. That's fantastic." Jack says, "I got some bad news. You're pitching tomorrow." So, poor Bill. Anyway, in Matthew chapter 6, again, we're back to reality. Chapter 6, verse 32 in Matthew. "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." He knows ahead of time. See, God even knows the second pitch and third pitch and the end of the game. All right. "Seek God's power." Because in verse 33 it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." First, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek God's power and direction. That's seeking the kingdom of God. Seek his power, his direction. When you're up at the plate and you're waiting for that pitch, don't think about the following one after that. Think about that pitch. See? Seek his righteousness too, it says. The word righteousness, first of all, you got to become a power hitter if you're going to get anywhere in baseball. If you're gonna be the one that's gonna knock the ball out of the park, you got to be the power hitter, and yeah, every team has a couple of power hitters. So no matter what the pitch is pitched to you, you're gonna be able to hit it, okay? Because you're watching, you're noticing how he's throwing it. You're adept at the game, but the only way to hit it is to shut up, okay? The only way to hit it is to shut up and let God work for you and in you. The word righteousness is right thinking, right doctrine. And where do we know that we have right doctrine? In God's Word, okay? God's Word is right doctrine. What it's saying, it is saying to seek the Word before temporal blessings. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek the Word of God. Seek His righteousness and His ways and His direction before temporal blessings. The word "all," you remember the word "all"? It could be used in two ways: all without exception, or all with distinction. Now, you know what this one is? It's all with distinction. All with distinction. You know why? God knows that sometimes things are not right or beneficial for our lives. He just knows that, and we don't know that. But he does. That's why we seek God's direction, God's ability, God's power. Okay? He knows what's beneficial for our lives and for our welfare, and for whatever reason it is, we don't know, but God does. Example, I had a cat that I had to put to sleep a couple of weeks ago. Now, I prayed for this cat. I prayed for it like it was my own child. I think I told you one time, if the cat were a female, I'd marry it. It's just a beautiful cat. Great cat. Vesper, great cat. His brother's still around looking for him. Well, I think he stopped looking for him now, but I'm his best friend now. His brother. Yeah, he's made me his best friend. So I prayed for this cat. And for whatever reason, the cat didn't get healed. Had this cancer thing in his mouth and couldn't eat, and I got tired of feeding him with a syringe, and I know it started hurting him, so he had to go. But, for whatever reason, maybe it wasn't going to be good down the road with this cat, or it would be more heartache. So that was the best thing to do. See, but God knows. See, not everything that you pray for sometimes is the right thing for you, because we don't know. All right, but that's why we seek God and His righteousness. You see, we should desire nothing from God but what would be right and proper for our lives. Okay. And I'll add that God is not a respecter of persons, we know that, but of conditions. But this, I want to do a little twist on this. People think that, you know, when we say God's a respecter of conditions, it's not just the conditions that we make, his conditions too. You know, God has conditions, right? So it's his conditions. Okay, we seem to forget that sometimes. In verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the next pitch, all right, after that. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I don't know if you knew this, but the word take and the word thought are the word merimneo. Take is the word for anxiety, and thought is the word for anxiety. So he starts out that verse with the same word. Take. It's a figure of speech which puts emphasis on that word, anxiety. No matter what the conditions in life are, what the circumstances are in your life, take no anxiety for whatever it is. Because we're at the plate with the bat in hand, waiting for the pitch to come, and we're trusting in God's ability, God's righteousness, see, God's kingdom. You know, I want to say this, the spirits of tomorrow, I don't know if they're spirits of tomorrow, but the spirits of tomorrow will stalk you out, okay? And take it in context here, the spirits of tomorrow, thinking about the second pitch, the third pitch, they'll stalk you out. They'll start sowing seeds of doubt, worry, fear, and distrust in your life and in your heart. Anxious thoughts, they kind of meander about and they crisscross in your brain, right? And they divide you, they confuse you. And you wonder why you're confused sometimes. That's why. Okay. Trusting God will bring you into his presence. You know, not that we're not already in God's presence, but it will be manifested. You can manifest being in the presence of God. It will show in your life the quality. It'll show the quality of life. All right. God never intended for us to carry the weights and the struggles and the worries of tomorrow. That's not the way he made us. He made us to take one pitch at a time. See? All right. In 2 Corinthians, we're done in Matthew there. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 9. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, God's favor is upon you and in you. And it's enough for unfailing strength. God's favor upon you is enough for unfailing strength and satisfaction and unfailing sufficiency. See? But that sufficiency is only for the one pitch. Okay? God's not thinking about the following pitch. He already knows what's coming. Okay? That sufficiency is for the one pitch. One day at a time. You know, you don't have to turn to Matthew 6:11. But it's the same chapter as where we were earlier. Doesn't it say, give us this day our daily bread? Daily, that means one day at a time, right? It doesn't say, give us the, you know, BJ's stock up for the month. You know what I mean? Give us this day our daily bread. It's the day at hand. That's what that daily means, the day at hand. Give us this day our daily bread. Pitch, you know, whatever. You put your own word into it, okay? The pitch that you're standing at the plate for is the one to hit out of the park. That very pitch right there. And we'll close in Psalm 62. Psalm 62. And in verse 8. We'll start in verse 5. And we'll go to verse 8. Psalm 62, 5. My soul waiteth. Or, my soul, wait thou only upon God. Only is a big word there, because there are a lot of gods around. Take your pick. Okay. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. You wait in silence. You don't hear the batter chattering up there. That's everybody else chattering. Batter, 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 batter. Do you hear that? Those of you who watch. Swing, batter, swing, batter, swing. And then you have your dugout. Good eye, good eye, good eye. Because, you didn't swing. It was a bad pitch, So you wait in silence, right? You submit completely. This is this verse. You trust immovably, and you wait patiently. Some of the best batters in life in baseball are patient, the most patient batters. Okay. We expect from God in that verse. We expect from God because we believe God. See, that's why. That's our lifestyle. Verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. You see, God alone is our complete safety. He's our complete security. He's our complete protection. And he's our complete sufficiency. We don't budge from that truth, not one bit. Verse 7. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. The word my is used four times there in that short verse. My makes it personal. See? It's personal. And not only does it make it personal, but it claims it. You are claiming it. And in verse 8, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Selah means, if you can picture this, Selah means you're resting in a luscious field of grass as a sheep. You're a sheep. And you can lay down in that grass because you know you've got everything. Your shepherd is taking care of you. You've got everything that you need. Your sufficiency, your protection, your guidance, everything. That's Selah. And so it says, at all times, or that verse, at all times God deserves our confidence and our trust. All times. A day without trust is a day full of trouble. Remember that. Okay, a day thinking about the second pitch or the third pitch is a day full of trouble. Right, don't keep your griefs to yourself, but pour them out at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I was very blessed to share one pitch at a time with you. Thank you, Father, for your love and your guidance for us, and you guide us with your eye. You keep us and you protect us, and you give us all sufficiency in life as we take that one pitch at a time and hit that ball out of the park through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.